All right, you guys can grab a seat here, and we will get started this morning with our time in God's Word today. Something you should know about us here at Harvest City is we love God's Word. We believe it is divinely inspired and inerrant in everything that it teaches. And so we definitely focus on God's Word here because we believe that it's God's communication to us of how He wants us to, number one, know Him and be in relationship with Him, and also how we should live. It's really good to be with you guys here on Easter. It's kind of a big deal. It is probably the biggest deal in the entire world over the course of human history. And here we are worshiping King Jesus, our risen Savior, on Easter. Now, when I say the word king, I know I get an image in my mind of what a king is. I think about a king enthroned in a court. He's got a crown on his head, a big, thick beard. He's got royal robes on, and there is just like gold leaf all over the place. There is just so much decadence around this king. And king is kind of a controversial title, is it not? I mean, at least in this country it is, because 250 years ago, almost exactly this July 4th, the United States rebelled against a king, the King of England. And we said, no thank you, King of England. We've got this from here. You see, we as Americans definitely have a harder time submitting to authority, right? I think an image that better exemplifies at least an American spirit is that of a cowboy. Someone who is rugged, who is mounted on a workhorse, who's decked out in cowhide, who's wearing boots. He has dirt on his hands. He's moving cattle from pasture to pen each and every day. He's fixing fences. He is taking care of animals. And at the end of the day, he goes home dog-tired from a hard day's work. See, the cowboy knows nothing of regal, lavish living. He is completely out of place in a throne room and has no ambition to have subjects. Instead, the cowboy is at home with his wife and kids on the deck after a hard day's work is done. And here's the important question that we all need to answer is, what is the picture of Jesus that we get in our minds? What is your picture of Jesus? Is it more of the king, or is it more of a cowboy? Because your picture of Jesus matters a whole lot. God's Word says this about who Jesus is in Zechariah 9, verse 9. It says, "Rejoice, O people of Zion! Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem! Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt." You see, Jesus came into Jerusalem for his final week as a king. And he was rightly praised and worshiped and adored as a king because Jesus is righteous. Jesus is victorious. Jesus is perfect. Jesus is holy. And Jesus is worthy of all adoration and praise. The fanfare of Jesus' arrival that week was unmatched. For over a mile, he was paraded into Jerusalem. People laid down their cloaks and shaded him with palm branches, and Jesus received their praise. In fact, Jesus was told, "Tell them to stop." And yet Jesus said, "If they are silent, even the rocks will cry out." Meaning Jesus rightly received their praise. Make no mistake about it, Jesus is king. Jesus is our king. And he came as a king to receive adoration and praise. Jesus described the type of king he would be like this in John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. Says, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. You see, Jesus is a king, but he is a king unlike any other king that has ever existed, because what ordinary king would ever talk about himself like this? Jesus talked about himself in a very strange way for a king. Ordinary kings didn't talk about themselves as a gate. And while there were no cowboys in Jesus' day, there were shepherds. Shepherds cared for flocks of sheep. They were rugged individuals. And they offered protection for the sheep from predators. And any shepherd worth his salt would have built a pen for the sheep, right? A pen that provided shelter, that provided protection. And Jesus called himself the gate for that pen of safety and rest. Jesus is the one through whom we enter peace with God and the full life that he promises. There are not many gates. There is only one gate. And just as the sheep would enter the pen through the one gate, we enter rest and peace through Jesus Christ alone. He is the only way in to this rest and this peace. Don't you long for rest and peace in your life? I know I do. See, Jesus promises us rest if we come to him. He is our gate through which we enter eternal peace and rest. It is worth giving your life to Jesus because he alone is the way to a full life forever. But there is also a thief. This is Satan. This is the devil. Satan literally means adversary. He is against us and against God. And he uses many schemes to lure us away. He uses fear. He uses anxiety. He uses distractions of all kinds to pull us away. And maybe you can relate to this, because I know I can. Just in the past few weeks in our family, we've got 4 young kids, and there's been a revolving door of sickness in our household, and all the parents said amen. Over the last several weeks, we've been to urgent care a number of times, and I think finally we're on the right track here to becoming healthy again. Over this course of time, I've been tempted to lose my peace, thinking, oh my gosh, are we ever going to get out of this cycle? And this is just the normal everyday life sort of things. This is not a big life event like a diagnosis you weren't expecting, like the loss of a loved one or news that comes your way about a loved one that you weren't expecting. Jesus offers us peace. Jesus has a full and satisfying life for us if we can rest in his power, purpose, and control. So the question then becomes, how do we enter this peace? This is what Jesus talks about in John 10, 11 through 16, which says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't care really about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. Jesus is our good shepherd. He gave his life in exchange for ours in a love that the world has never before seen. Because when Jesus saw you and he called you to himself, he counted the cost to have you. Jesus doesn't run away or look the other direction because of our sin and our flaws and our mistakes. Jesus is patient and kind, and his fierce love is not averted by anything we have done. It is worth giving your life to Jesus because he loved you enough to give his life for yours. You see, Jesus went to the cross and paid the full price for all of your sins, everything wrong you've ever done, everything wrong you will ever do. And you can be on good standing with God only through Jesus because of what he has done. That's why Jesus, the perfect sinless Son of God, had to die. And the most important question you can answer in your life is this: are you his? Are you his? It's the most important question that we have to answer, and it's a yes or no question. There's no maybe, or in this area of my life, yes, but not in that. With Jesus, it is all or nothing. So how do you know that you are his? Well, do you listen to his voice? Do you listen to him? Jesus said his people will know his voice and follow him. This is important that we read God's word, because this is God's inspired word to us. He speaks to us through the Bible. And in just a few minutes, you're going to get to hear from some of our friends here at Harvest City, Kyle and Emily Dilley, who are getting baptized today after our service. They're going to get to share with you about how they came to follow Jesus and the difference that he has made in their lives. And this baptism that we will get to witness today is a picture of the transformation that Jesus brings in our hearts when we trust in him. In baptism, we celebrate that we have died to sin and have been raised to live a new life with Christ, full life that Jesus has for us. We would love to have you witness that baptism in our lobby space when our time in here is finished. Jesus concludes this section and this message when he says in verses 17 and 18, "The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so that I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded." You see, as followers of Jesus, we don't just follow a dead Savior, we follow a risen, alive Savior. Jesus did not just die for you, but he did it willingly. He did it because he wanted to. Because he loved you, he died in your place, even though he never sinned. Jesus did not just die, he rose from the dead. He snatched life from death, destroying the power of death, as we just sang about. Jesus won the fight. He won the prize of eternal life for you, the full life that can be yours through Jesus Christ. He has paid everything necessary for you to have it. It is worth giving your life to Jesus because only Jesus achieved victory for you over sin and death. Jesus, I believe, is calling some of you to enter his peace and rest. And if that's you this morning, I want to give you a chance to respond to that today. where if you sense God calling you to himself, to place your trust in him and respond in faith to that this morning. It's the most important decision that you can make. So I'm going to pray for us right now. I'm going to pray for you. So let's bow our heads and let's pray and go to God here. Heavenly Father, we invite you into this time, God. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he paid the very last penalty for our sins. We thank you that he died on the cross and that he rose again in victory over the grave, and that through him we can have new life. And if you came here today and you sense God stirring in your heart in this time to make that decision, to place your trust in Jesus Christ today, would you just pray this along with me in your heart today? Jesus, I need you. I know that I have sinned against you, and on my own I am not worthy to enter the peace and the rest that you have for me. But because you gave your life, and because you rose in victory over my sin, I can have new life in you. And so, Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. I'm going to let you call the shots. I'm going to listen to you from this day forward. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If that's you this morning and you made that decision, I want to encourage you to do two things. Number one, share it with somebody this morning. Share it with the person you came with. You can certainly find me after the service, and I would love to hear about the decision that you made to put your faith in Jesus. We also have these cards out on the table. This is our Connect card. You can fill that out, and there is a box that you can check on there that says New Believer on it. You can check that box, and we would love to follow up with you in that way as well, whichever you are most comfortable with. But don't leave here today without telling somebody that you made that decision, because we want to come alongside you. We want to help you to begin that new relationship with Jesus, and we've got some resources for you in that. I want to invite Kyle and Emily up here at this time. I'm going to grab a microphone right here. As they make their way up here, why don't you guys give them a warm welcome? All right, so they're going to get to share with you their testimony of coming to faith in Christ and the difference that that has made in their lives. So you guys take it away.
Thank you. So my name's Kyle. I grew up in a very...
hold it closer.
There. In a... Christian family, grew up Christian, went to church every Sunday, even went to youth group on Wednesday nights. When I was about 7 or 8 years old, I remember going to the bookstore, picking out a Bible, and then that night I asked Jesus into my heart. It was a moment that I'll never forget, but kind of years after that, I kind of started kind of transitioning into those teenage years where I was like, you know what, I asked him into my life, I'm a Christian, I think I'm checking all the boxes, I think I'm good. And kind of that's how we grew up, being told, you got Jesus in your heart, you're good, you're going to heaven. Looking back, I think I was a Christian, but I'm not sure if I was a follower. Wasn't until about 6 years ago that I met my wife, Emily, and kind of was met with the harsh reality where right away she goes, we were just dating at the time too, and she kind of brings up, I'm terrified of one day getting to the gates at heaven, in heaven, and being turned away because I didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord. She shared a Bible verse with me, Matthew 7:23. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This made me think, I mean, is that going to be me? Is that going to be thinking that growing up in a Christian family and getting to the pearly gates and just to be turned away because I didn't have a firm personal relationship with the Lord and constantly trying to pursue that relationship with him. A couple years ago, my parents and my sister got baptized at their church, and Emily and I were both dedicated as babies, asked God to be in my heart, and then went to church, and I thought that was all the boxes that I needed checked, but this baptism was something that we really think that is going to be important for being born new and to kind of take that extra additional step in our relationship with the Lord. Back in November, Neil had brought up baptisms, and that's something that he really wanted to do here at the church. And Emily and I both looked at each other and said, hey, I think this is the time. We prayed long and hard about it, and brought it up again this spring, and we said, yeah, let's do it. I think this is the right time, the right place, and we toured a bunch of churches, and we were actually here on the first service that they held, and with a much smaller church, it felt very personal and felt like this is our home. So we're excited, and great place to be baptized and to be born new. So
thanks, Kyle.
My parents also introduced me to Jesus at a young age, and I began seeking a relationship with him pretty early on through some childhood struggles. The church we attended while I was in middle school and high school was a very traditional Lutheran church. Worship was done from the traditional hymnal books with a lot of stand up, sit down, recite this. And during that, it was very easy for me to fall into the motions of going to church and getting caught up in the rules of religion without, while kind of forgetting about the true meaning of faith. As I grew older and started college, I got easily distracted by worldly temptations, worrying about work, school, boys, a social life, and I put my relationship with Jesus on the back burner. I was also in the Army National Guard at the time, and at 21, I deployed to Afghanistan with a team of five others to serve as casualty liaisons, a role that weighed pretty heavy on anyone's heart. I was dating a guy back home prior to this, and within a few months after I left the U.S., we had broken up. And I took that breakup really hard as I was feeling isolated from my own life. I was feeling isolated from my teammates as we all worked separate shifts across different bases. And I was surrounded by darkness as I was regularly being confronted with the harsh realities of war. I had struggled with turning to God during this time as I had felt I had fallen too far from him, that I needed to clean myself up again before I called on him. And I slipped into a very anxious and depressing mindset. Shortly after that season, I saw a verse from James 2 that said, suffering is one of the greatest joys that we can experience. I was very confused by this, but leaned in and learned that the testing of my faith produces endurance, which then grows into character and hope. The challenges that God had me walk through was shaping my character to create spiritual maturity for the plans he had in store for me. That started a fire within my soul that longed to know more about Jesus. And then I read a verse that had rocked me. And ironically, we did not plan this, but it was the same verse that Kyle had shared. Quickly paraphrasing Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who claims me as their Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. Many will do religious works in my name, but when they come to enter heaven, I will tell them, I never knew you. Depart from me. That verse truly woke me up as I learned that no amount of good deeds or outward religious activities would save me, only a genuine personal relationship with Jesus could. As I began pursuing a relationship with Jesus, I've learned that God cares for me like a parent cares for their child. I didn't ask to be born, but he brought me here, knowing the path he had prepared for me. And as I navigate this path, he wants to walk with me. He wants to carry me when times are challenging and to take the weight of my anxieties off of my shoulders. I don't need to clean up myself or do works to try to impress him to be in his presence. He's called me to come as I am, broken and sinful, and he will wash me new. As I've been preparing for this baptism, I've learned that this will not establish my relationship with God, but rather it will point to it. And I'm excited for this baptism today to represent my outward testimony to follow God through Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. So the baptism is going to take place out in the lobby area right after our service here, but we're going to take some time now and respond in worship. So would you stand with us?